Wolves. We're in the book of Jude. There's no chapters in the book of Jude, it's just verses. So turn to the book of Jude. I'll find you there in just a moment. We're going to focus in on verses 17 through 21 this morning. So go ahead and get yourself ready. Couple of quick things I just wanted to reemphasize and make sure everybody's aware of. There's a lot of great opportunities for us as a people to be connecting with one another at Oakwood. And so just a reminder, in the lobby, again, those dinner groups, a lot of people missed out on the last round. You sign up, they put you in groups with other people, about six or eight people, and you go out to eat. Everybody pays for their own, and it's just a good time to get to know people. We really enjoyed our dinner group, but then we're re-upping now, and new groups are formed, so you meet other people. And so we encourage you to, a month from now, don't sit there and think, I should have done it. No, do it now. Be part of it and get to know some other people here at Oakwood. You have to sign up this week or next week. There's only 2 weeks for that. Join us for that ice cream social, $1 per person, $5 for family. If you think we're really bad at math and you only have four people in your family and you're like, why would I do that? No, that's basically for large families, like 7, 10 people. It's only $5 for all of them. We're trying to help them. So don't think we're bad at math. I don't know why we always do that, because it's only like the Bensons, the Moores. I don't know how many other families we have with that many kids. But anyways, we encourage you to just come and participate. Again, you can tell Oakwood's putting an emphasis on connectivity. We want to be connected as a body. It's not enough that you just come and sit in a chair once a week. We want to know you. And that means you have to give us a little bit of yourself as well. But we're encouraging you to be participating in that. Men, I told you I would update this. And we do have two more grilling chills that were not on the original calendar. We have two more in August. One is this coming Saturday. Jim Greco, are you ready? Meats shall be on heats. All right. We're going to eat. All right. So that's this Saturday, Jim Greco. The new card has the last two with the addresses on it. And then we're going over to Josh Clay's. So one is in Ortonville, one is in Oxford. One's on a Saturday, one's on a Tuesday. So men, pick one of these up if you want to know where those are at. They're on that, the oak. Got to remember all our words here. The oak is the kiosk you want to go to for that. And then again, stop by and participate in those things that are there. Preparation, church. Next Sunday will be our farewell to Cole. Cole Moore was our intern this summer. He came up and did the announcements. So many of you have come to me and said, wow, what a great young man and what a great job he does. He preached for us the last two Sundays. We're thankful for Cole. He's going back off to school to finish his senior year. And I warned you about this earlier. Not warned you. I gave you a heads up earlier. We were able to pay him what we could as an intern. Sometimes interns aren't paid at all. But we wanted to honor the fact that he was working for us. So we did what we could as a church in our budget, but we always knew that at the end I was going to ask you for a love offering for Cole. So I'm preparing you now. I'll remind you in a letter this week. Next Sunday we'll be taking up a love offering. Now, every time we do something like this, I have to remind you as a church, we still need to keep the lights on and we got to pay for all the bills that come in. So this should not be a rob Peter to pay Paul. A love offering is over and above what you normally give. And I try to tell this to the church because we'll collect a big offering and it'll be almost exactly minus what usually comes in on a Sunday. That's wonderful. I mean, you can still choose to do that, but I'm just saying, church, help us out. We need to keep our regular giving, weekly giving up so that we don't go behind on our budget and we get to honor Cole. We can do both. I remember people telling me years ago, if you just cut out your Starbucks, I'm like, no. I want to drink my Starbucks and do the other things. So both. We get to both and. Everybody say both and. So let's support the church and the budget, and we get to give Cole a love offering to send him back to school for his last year. Let's do that, church. And then here we go. I am going to jump on the high wire and walk very carefully for the next couple of seconds. We at Oakwood do not endorse political candidates. We don't do any of that kind of a thing. But we have some people in our church that are running for office locally, and I just want to point out Kathy Thurman and Matt Bryson. Kathy and Brandon, Matt in Hadley. Is there anybody else in the building today that's running for office? Because the election's Tuesday. Anybody else besides those two? Okay, so we only have two people crazy enough to get into politics. Just kidding. Kathy, you know I love you, but I think you're crazy. But I'm thankful for, and we're not endorsing what you, we're not telling you what to vote. You vote as you choose to vote. That is absolutely fine. And I'm not saying you have to vote for them. I'm just saying they're good peoples. And I like those peoples. Kathy's my neighbor. She's on the 40 acres kitty corner behind me. She's always been gracious. Matthew's a great young man. And so I just pointing them out this week, and we'll pray for them. And we'll pray God's will, right? Let's pray for God's will over them. Let's do that now. Father, we come as a church, and there's people in our congregation that we love, we appreciate, and they're running for office. This is a big week. They're putting themselves out there. The vote will be cast. So God, I know that you are sovereign, and what needs to happen will happen. Father, we pray that if Matthew at his young age is able to give his time to this, and you would have him in that place, that he would step up to that. Father, I pray for Kathy if she decides to get back into this, as she's done it for our community for so long and now she's back. I just pray a blessing on what your will would be. So Father, whatever the outcomes are, I pray that they would know that they're loved and they're blessed, and we're blessed to know them. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do not email me or text me that I did something wrong. I did what I thought was right. Okay. All right. So tonight is OSM. They do meet for youth group tonight, and they will meet next week. Cole's got one more lesson he wants to bring, but young people and parents, we're going to have our farewell to Cole next Sunday night. So students, we encourage you to make sure you come on out and participate, us thanking Cole for his time and being a part of that. Are we in Jude yet? I gave you plenty of time to find it. I should have told you to go to Revelation and take a left. It's the page right before Revelation, the book of Jude. And before I get to preaching, I just want to do a reminder, because it's been 3 weeks. Pastor Ted preached for us, and then we gave Cole 2 Sundays to do a series. And so now here we are reminding you, we started the book of Jude, and here are the key thoughts from the whole thing. Contend for the faith, watch out for wolves, build your faith strong, be merciful but direct, praise God for preserving us. That's kind of the main thought. So we kicked it off early and gave you the explanation of the author in the book, the audience, and here we are coming back to it. Because of that, can I go back and just read verses 3 through 5, I believe it is. So 3 through 4, I don't know what it is. I'm going to read starting in verse 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about your salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. I want you to say 2 words with me. Say sovereign. Say Lord. We'll get to that in a moment. Just reminding you that the author was going to write a book kind of just rejoicing in the wonderful salvation, but something came up. Something sparked Jude to say, I'm not going to talk about that. I want to talk about contending for the faith, because they're in danger. I think that's what his heart is here. He's saying they're in danger. The people are in danger because wolves have slipped in. Again, I remind us as a church, quite often, I don't know why it happened, but it's been there for millennia, it's them against us. We feel like it's us against the world, and we feel like that's the big fight. I'm here to tell you that in Scripture, it makes it very clear, the world is the world. And guess what? The world's going to be the world. Why, as Christians, we think they're going to start acting biblically without Christ, I don't know. But the world is the world, and the world's going to be the world all the way to the end. And they're not our enemies. We can be upset and not like some of the things we see, but what we see in Scripture that is more important is the warning about what happens inside the church. What's going on inside the church? Because the world will be the world. We're living in Babylon. However, the church must protect itself. I'm thankful we have elders here who guard doctrine and truth. It's one of their jobs as leaders and protectors of the flock. I'm thankful that Oakwood is a church that wants to preach the word, not contemporary issues. But as they show up in Scripture, we talk about them. The point is that Jude is telling us there's wolves inside. I'm not sure what was happening then. There's some clues. He goes on and talks about some stuff. in the following verses, but I definitely can see today. In the day we're in, I want to say to the church, church, be aware. Wake up, stop sleeping, and be aware. Because there's definitely teaching that has crept in that is just wrong. It's false teaching. And it goes to appease people's appetites for sinfulness. And I want to warn you that it's there. I grew up in a church that had a pastor who loved to get up in the pulpit and tell the people who they couldn't read or listen to. He had somebody new every week to tell us, don't read this guy or don't listen to this preacher. And he was trying to protect the flock, but I kind of shy away from that. So your pastor's not going to stand here and give you a list of names. I'll probably miss many. It's not about that. There's so many that I just want to say you need to be on guard and watch yourself that you don't be pulled into false teaching. And here's the key. You will find teaching that appeases something that you want. You can find it today. There's plenty of preachers that'll tell you exactly what you want to hear to feel good about who you are and what you're feeling and what you want to do. And I just want to say be on guard for that. Because the big bottom line question is this: is God sovereign? That's why I asked you earlier. Y'all got it right on the Sunday school question. Yeah. Is he sovereign in your life? Oh. What does that mean that he's sovereign? It simply means that he calls the shots. God tells us in his word what is sin. He gets to do that. Can I just say that? I mean, you need to start there today when we talk about what Jude has for us. God has the authority to tell us what is right and wrong. We don't come to him and say, but I would rather enjoy this, but I feel this way. No, we don't indulge ourselves and ask God to comply. God tells us what's right and wrong and we comply. And that's the issue that Jude is bringing up. Church, are you ready? Are you watching? Are you on guard when you hear teaching to determine, is this truth? Or is this what we've been warned about? Because we have been warned. And before I read those, let's pray it in this morning. Would you pray with me? Would you say this prayer? You don't have to say it out loud, but just say, God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Just give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, our prayer is that you would be glorified, that everyone listening would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Big idea today is keep yourself in God's love, verses 17 through 21. The first thing we're going to learn is we shouldn't be surprised by false teachers. I'm warning you today, Jude warned us a long time ago, be on the watch. Because there are false teachers spreading lies, things that aren't true. Let's continue to read in Jude. I want to read 17 through 21. It says, but dear friends, remember what the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Very clear teaching. Jude told us a couple of things that we should be watching for. And we've been warned before Jude. And so I'm going to give you some of the warnings that we should know as a church that these things are happening and they're going to increase. When the end days come, there's going to be so much false teaching. The sad thing, the thing that breaks my heart is it appears that believers will fall for anything. It appears that believers aren't ready and they haven't read the word. And so they hear a teaching and they just say, oh, that's wonderful. And they just jump on board. I don't want Oakwood to be that kind of a church. And as your pastor, it's my duty to prepare you in the end days, in the last days, to be able to determine truth from lies. And that has to happen in this, God's word, not my opinions, not any preacher's opinions, but in God's word. So there's a whole bunch of things we need to talk about. Are you in God's word, first of all? And then do you know how to handle God's word? Like a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember Awana, people? Those are great verses. Scripture tells us. Are we ready? Let's read through these warnings. Matthew 7, 15 says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Now I know our little logo for this sermon series, there's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and too bad, it's just too cute. I don't know why they made that stinking wolf so cute. A lot of you are like, well, that wolf's not too bad. Maybe that's why they did it. That wolf doesn't look too scary. And that's probably the truth. Some of these things that's being taught today, you might look at and say, oh, that's nice. It's so inclusive. It's so wonderful. We have to talk about that just for a second. Inclusivity and wideness. I mean, Jesus' arms are open wide to accept everybody, but narrow is the way. Again, I've taught this before. In life, when it comes to specialties, you want somebody to be specific, not inclusive. You don't want to hear, I have something inside my body, and they say, oh, it looks like it's cancer, so we're just going to cut in there, we're going to take an ice cream scoop, we're going to scoop that out there, and hopefully not. No, you don't want to hear that. You want to hear, hey, listen, we know what it is. We've zeroed in on it, and here's our plan. We're going to attack this thing, and we're going to make sure we annihilate that thing. It's very specific, very narrow. You don't want your pilot to come over the intercom saying, hey, people, we're going up, 10,000 feet, and then, we're just going to come down someplace. Might be the ocean. We don't know. No, you kind of want your pilot to be specific. Well, some planes land on water. Why can't all planes land on water? That's not very inclusive. Do not land my jet on the water. I want a runway, please. Long, extra long runway, please. And dirty side down. That's an important thing. I asked a pilot once, what's the most important? He said, just keep the dirty side down. Okay. Right? That's a good idea. I got on a hot air balloon last Sunday. I'm not even going to talk about it today. I'm still traumatized. Some of the craziest things you'd ever heard. We're going to go up in the sky and come down wherever we find a spot to land. Like, is that going to be in Ohio or is that going to be in Michigan? Where are we coming? We don't know. Wherever the wind may blow. Oh my goodness. The Bible says the false teachers are already here. In Acts 20, 29, 30, it says, I know that after I leave you, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from our own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Yeah, friends, some of the things that's being taught today are pure demonic because it removes God as sovereign and it places our temporary desires and passions, what we like for our own bodies, above God's laws. It's demonic. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what the itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We've been warned. Scripture made it very clear, and I believe we're heading toward the end days, if not there now. And these things are going to ramp up. Do you know the truth? When you hear a teaching, do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Chuck Colson was famous for traveling the country and speaking in churches. And he would be talking to churches that were well-established Christians who'd been sitting in the pews for 40 years. And halfway through his message, he would stop and he would say, somebody stand and tell us what the elemental doctrines of the faith are. Chirp. Chirp. Can nobody stand and tell us the truth? And then he says, this is why we're in big trouble. Friends, I pray it's not true of you. I'm not accusing you today. I don't want you to leave thinking my pastor thinks lowly of us. I don't think lowly of you, but I don't think highly of you in order to not care or not to worry. So I want you to be prepared. Do you know what you believe? And do you know why you believe it? Jude is screaming, we need to hold firmly to God's truth and know that he is sovereign. It's not us who get to choose and to pick based on our fleeting fancies. He calls these people that are wolves, he calls them wolves, but he also calls them here scoffers. And then there's some descriptions. They're consumed by ungodly desires. Let's go to Titus. Let's go to Titus. Ungodly desires. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These scoffers, they're consumed by their own evil desires. That's what drives them. And again, you can find anybody today that will agree with anything you want them to say. You can find it. There are theologians, so-called theologians, who take the Bible and they make it say whatever they choose to make it say. Are you holding fast to the truth? That's why Jude keeps reminding them the truths that have been taught. He then goes on from ungodly desires and said, these people are divisive. They're divisive, not unifying. Do you know divisive people that just kind of always cause rifts? You need to avoid those people. They're in the church. They're in the church. I learned years ago that our problem at Oakwood is we're not going to fight the community we're in. You know what? The community around us loves us. They're kind to us. Oxford loves us. Brandon loves us. I had a meeting at Brandon Township office this week. They're so kind to us. You know, the world is not out trying to make it hard on us. They just think we're irrelevant. It's inside the church. Friend, the only thing that keeps Oakwood down is from within the church. The divisiveness of people who just want to argue and fight. And you know what? It's the problem. Jude points it out. Those scoffers, they're not unifying. They're divisive. He also says, oh, there's a verse for that. Let me give you a verse. Romans 16:17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you may have been taught. Avoid them. Avoid them. You run into somebody that gossips, just walk away. Just say, I'm not going to listen to this. Don't have to be mean about it. Don't have to be attackative. But that would be a great cure. If somebody comes, starts telling you something about somebody in the church, just say, you know, I'm not going to hear this. We need to stop that. We need to stop listening to negativity and divisive words, the infighting that brings churches down. We shouldn't stand for it, church. Don't stand for it. Following mere natural instincts, 1 Corinthians 2:14 talks about that. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The Bible makes it very clear that before your salvation, you were in the flesh, natural, just natural. The problem is you were dead spiritually. You need to become alive spiritually. The side of you that's spiritual needs to be born again to new life. Beyond that, without the Spirit in your life and without being saved, you're just going to go on natural instinct. What sounds good and feels good? And that's what these people are teaching. They come into the church and they're just following their natural instincts. But we have to understand that we're to crucify the flesh, not celebrate the flesh. We're called to crucify the things that go against God's standards. Are you living based on natural instincts or Holy Spirit direction? The fourth thing he says about these scoffers, he says, you don't want us to know. Help me out, people. It's not going. She dead. Is it froze? Devoid of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. The Bible says these people that come in, they're devoid of the Holy Spirit. They just don't have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 talks about this clearly. It says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. Sarx. That's the great word for flesh. Sarx. We're not in that realm anymore, he says, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If, everybody say if. Again, those two-letter words are the biggest words in Scripture. if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So apparently these scoffers have come in like wolves into the church with false teachings, and they don't have the Spirit of God. They're living on basic instincts, natural desires, ungodly desires. We're to watch out for them. We've been warned. Then it says, keep yourselves in God's love. Let me find that. I'm going to read the next part. But you, dear friends, starting in verse 20, by building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Next week, I'll be breaking mirrors and walking under ladders. I don't believe in superstitions, by the way. We'll find out what happens later today. Jude tells us to keep ourselves in God's love. Keep yourself in God's love. By the way, this paragraph here could be a little confusing. It sounds like he's given us a lot of things, but he really only is giving us one thing to do. Keep yourselves in God's love. He gives us three ways to do that. Let's look at them in scripture here. First thing we need to do, how can we do this? And by the way, I put a yellow line under yourselves. I was going to put keep yourself in God's love. I'm very picky about how I present my points. And I had to go back and correct my own self when I read the doctrine facing this. This is not an individual thing. If you look at how Jude talks, he constantly says we, us, yourselves. It's always plural. This is not an individual thing for a believer. Yes, you individually need to keep yourself in God's love, but apparently we're supposed to be in this together. And so we help one another remain in God's love. We find people straying out from under God's love. We help them. This is us. Everybody say us. This is we. Everybody say we. There's a plenty of me, but you know what? Right now, Jude is making it very clear. Church, guard yourselves. And it's a team project. It's a body project. So I chose this. If the command that Jude is saying is to keep yourselves in God's love, he gives us three ways to do that. And I'm not preaching any divine cooperative here. God's salvation is him alone. There's nothing we add to it. But when you are saved, you make choices. And I firmly believe that God lets you. That's the free will part of it. God lets you make choices. And as a believer, you can stay under the protection and in God's love, or you can choose to walk out on your own. The illustration breaks down because some of you are like, but I love walking in the rain. I'm not talking about drizzle. I'm not talking about a little shower. We're talking about acid rain that'll burn your eyeballs out. You got to stay underneath the protection, okay? So don't take the illustration and say, I don't like that illustration. No, keep yourself in God's love. What does that mean? He gives you a lot of freedom. There's a lot of freedom in God's love. Forwards and backwards and left and right. There's a lot of freedom, but you put yourselves in danger when you walk out away from what his protection is and what his love is. How are you living your life? Are you living your life one day a week, you know, coming in God's love, and then the rest of the week you're off just doing whatever you want? We have an opportunity and a task to remain in God's love, underneath his protection. He gives us a lot of freedom there, but we don't run out away from that, away from what Scripture teaches to do our own thing. Because then we're vulnerable. Let's look at these three things that we need to be doing. Building yourselves up in the faith. That's a theme throughout Scripture. Are you building something? Are you working on your faith? I pray that you didn't just say a prayer at some point and get that fire insurance card so you know, and keep myself from going out. I pray that that's not the end of the game, because you were born spiritually, but you're an infant and you do need to grow. You need to desire the sincere milk and the meat of God's word. And so are you building something? Is your faith stronger today than 5 years ago? What's your plan for having a stronger faith 5 years from now? And again, I'm going to say some of this you have to take some responsibility for. When you come, I want to teach God's word, but that's once a week for 30 minutes. Okay, 40 sometimes. Once a week. Don't make me your spiritual drug dealer. I used to deal drugs when I was stupid and young. And people would come to me and they would have a need and they'd want it met. Don't come here on Sundays for your spiritual hit so you can go on with your life. I'm not your spiritual drug dealer. I'm willing to give you God's word, but that's just a start. You need to continue on in it. Are you finding small group Bible studies? Are you finding connectivity? Are you growing on your own? That's a beautiful thing. I'm a pastor that's not telling you, just come to church and I'll take care of the Bible part. No, I'm telling you, you need to be self-feeders. God, he's given you the Holy Spirit. You have every capability of opening God's word, studying it for yourself, finding what's true and what's false. That's your responsibility. We're here to help you. But we only have so much time to do that. Let's talk about building. The Bible talks a lot about building. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, stubble, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, and yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames. Friends, don't show up to heaven scorched, barely making it in. No, we have an opportunity to build a life, but we do it together. Remember what Jude said, yourselves, we, us, we build each other up in the church. Let's be growing, amen? Let's be a growing church. Let's talk about, is this true what I heard? I heard this denomination just made this choice. Is that right or is that wrong? Let's be people that examine not only our own hearts, but what is truth. Let's put it to a test. Building. The wise man builds his house upon a sure foundation. Are we building? And then praying in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 26, 20. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. This is not some tricky thing. I'm not telling you to pray in the Spirit and that's some kind of a weird seance. Praying in the Spirit is just praying. And the Holy Spirit is intercedes on our behalf. It's a beautiful thing. Sometimes, have you ever been in such pain and misery, you don't even know how to pray? And you go to pray and nothing but tears come. Guess what? The Holy Spirit interprets those tears right to the throne of God. You don't even have to say it right. I have people that come, they want to receive salvation. They want to know exactly how to pray. There is no magic prayer to receive salvation. But the Spirit intercedes on our own behalf. Isn't it great to know that you don't have to worry, am I saying this right for God? We got some interpreters. Pastor Ted talked about preaching with an interpreter. I've had to do that so many times. It's so uncomfortable. I'm a fast talker and I'm a stream of consciousness guy. And you can't do that when you got an interpreter. You talk for a little bit and then you let them talk. And you talk for a little bit and let them talk. You have no idea if they're even saying the same thing. They could be ruining your sermon. Sometimes they'd be making it better. I don't know about that, but I've heard of interpreters that are way better than the guy talking. I was preaching once in Brazil. I was just getting going, and I'm trying to get some kind of a flow in my sermon. And I'd say something, and the missionary would say something, and the people would laugh. And I'd say something, and the missionary would say something, and the people would laugh. And I'm like, I'm not saying funny things. Why do they laugh every time he interprets? I did it again. I said something. He said something, and they all laughed. And I turned, I said, what are you doing? He goes, okay, you caught us. I've just been saying, look at this guy, thinks he knows what he's talking about. Look at this fat guy. What are he's going to say next? He wasn't reinterpreting anything I said. He was mocking me the whole time. We had a big laugh out of that. The good news is, as a believer, you're going straight to the throne of a holy God. That might make you nervous. Have you ever met somebody famous and didn't know what to say, didn't know how to say it, you didn't want to mess it up? First time I met Michael W. Smith, I reached out my hand. I said, "Hello, Mr. Smith." I called him Mr. Smith. Nobody calls him Mr. Smith. I felt like a fool. You get nervous. You're going to a holy God. I got good news for you. Be yourself. Be honest. Be truthful, because the Holy Spirit will take that, presents it to a holy God in a way better than we ever could. That's praying in the Spirit. Pray, trusting that, and it's got to be in God's will. Again, we got to stop these prayers, you know, at football games. "God, we pray that our team wins." What if there's a Christian on the other team? They're praying the same thing. How's God going to do that? A coin flip? No, we got to stop praying, "Lord, help me pass this exam," when you never studied. That's not a prayer that God's going to answer. You're not going to get a miracle of knowledge because you never study. We ought to pray things like, "Lord, help us to play our best tonight. Lord, help me to recall all the things that I've studied," right? Those are prayers that God can look at and answer. We need to pray in the Spirit, trusting that he interprets for us. That's how we're building ourselves up. We're building ourselves up in the faith. We're praying in the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, we're waiting for Christ's return. "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not know." This is 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. "And I don't need to write to you about these dates and times, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Friends, the Bible makes it clear that as believers, we ought to be constantly waiting and looking for his return. Are you watching and waiting? Are you ready? Don't be caught unprepared. As you watch the news and you see what's happening in the Middle East, and you watch our world dive bombing into immorality and celebrating it, do you realize that the end is coming and we ought to be prepared for that? And then, I'm sorry, Emily, my daughter's here and she's in her last trimester. It talks about the pregnant woman. Oh, man. You know what? Every pregnant woman knows that there's coming a time, but they don't know the time. In our experience, it's always about 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that's what it is. Just yesterday, we went and saw Cass Rodella. Did you know that Cass and Colton had a baby? A boy, Constantino, they're going to call him Tino. We stopped and saw a little Constantino, or we wanted to see him. He was having a little thing done, so we didn't get to see him. But we left the hospital. You know what my wife said? We're in the elevator, and she's like, "Hey, you know, we ought to be packing bags for the time, so we're ready to go when Emily has this baby." I'm thinking, well, that's kind of early. I don't know if we're going to pack a bag. I mean, but she's like, "We need to go bags. We got to have go bags, because we got to get all the way to Grand Rapids." Yeah. You got a grandma who's watching and waiting. She's ready. She's got a go bag. Grab it, go. Let's go. As believers, are we watching and waiting? Or are we aloof? Like, we don't even think it's coming. We're unprepared. Lastly today, I would just give you this line. When tested, what fake won't save you? What's fake won't save you. I read a story this week of a New Zealander. Let me get his name. What was his name? His name was Ivan Segedin. Ivan Segedin. I understand Ivan. Ivan and I probably grew up about the same time. It was before seatbelt laws. Any here grow up before seatbelt laws? Did anybody struggle with that change from "you gotta buckle up"? I did. I had a hard time. I fought it. My kids were young. The kids would be like, "Dad, you got to buckle your seatbelt." I just didn't want to. I got a car at one point that you got in and the door shut and the seatbelt automatically went. Pfft. That was pretty cool. But I hated it. I didn't want it. "You can't tell me what to do." You know, I struggled with that. Ivan struggled with it too. He refused to wear a seatbelt. In 5 years, he got 32 tickets. He refused to wear a seatbelt. It cost him greatly until finally he decided to be deceptive and he made a fake belt. It just, he drooped it over his shoulder and it looked like he was wearing one. It worked. No more tickets until he had a head-on collision. He hit the steering column and died instantly. True story. Friends, hear the words today. When tested, what's fake won't save you. Showing up on a Sunday and looking spiritual is a fake seatbelt, and it's not saving anybody. Eventually, I stopped fighting it, and I put that seatbelt on. How silly it was to fight against something that would save your life. So church, as I ask the band to come up and close with our song that we always close when we do Communion Sunday, our benediction, I urge you as a church, we're going to continue in Jude. I thought I would do it in one Sunday. This is the second Sunday. It's going to be two more. It happens. I got more to say. But church, I want you today to just focus on what we've heard here in Scripture that Jude is saying. You can't just skate through. You got to be aware. Paying attention. Testing what you hear. Is this truth? It sounds good. It sure feels better. It sure makes a lot of other people happy. Well, that's not the standard. Truth is what God says on any topic. Amen? And we need to be keepers of the truth, God's word, and be ready for false teachers that'll come and say anything you'd ever thought you'd hear. Let's guard ourselves. Let's build ourselves up. Ourselves. Let's be praying together in the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'd help us, guide us, protect us. And that's coming. I'm thankful that Jude ends his book by coming back to your protection. God, I pray no one leaves here in fear. Instead, spurred on to be guarding themselves. I pray that's the truth in Jesus' name.